I want to say, to begin with, we miss you. We have successfully, of course, moved over last September. Placed membership at Rocky Creek. Started trying to put roots down, but there is not, I don't believe, a week that goes by where it's not mentioned. I wonder how someone's doing at Creekwood. Wonder how they are. You are missed. And it is wonderful to come back tonight and be with you and give updates of kind of what's gone on in the last 9 months. We are, of course, right now in full swing. We have 5 weeks that are behind us. A group checked out yesterday, the Hattiesburg Church of Christ. Today, the Gateway Church of Christ in Pensacola checked in. And as we got them in, we started over here, so we've got about 4 more weeks to go. Our last 2 weeks are inner-city weeks. We actually picked up a new inner-city week this year. We'll have Mobile come in, and then Montgomery will follow, and that will close out our summer sessions. I'd like to begin by kind of showing you some of the, I guess, projects or improvements on the camp itself. Some of you got to come over for the Creekwood Retreat. I think it was in late September, early October. Got to see the house that was built. In the end, we completed this project for around $118,000, $120,000. And it has been a great blessing, I must say, to have my family out there this summer just to go and have lunch with them. To not go weeks without seeing them, and I believe they have been blessed as well. Soon, of course, one little picture there inside, so you can see. Swimming pool, for those that may not have known, 3 years ago we completed our pool. What you see there is us redoing it. We had a group come in, Southern Leisure Pool. They cleaned out everything that they could except this blue paint in the bottom. And trusting that their bond coat would stick, they redid the entire pool. Well, this our past year, that did not stick, and the bond coat began to break up. Talking with them, they said they would come help us redo it if we dug it all out. So spent more than a few weeks with a flat shovel, busting all this back up, taking it back out because it did not stick before. And then they come in and did a chipping process. Still couldn't get this blue paint up. Don't know who put that down in years past. But in the end, they come back, replastered it. This was a couple months. A lot of people didn't know that happened. Wonder what we did all winter. Well, that was one thing we did. Another thing, soon after we moved, 3 weeks later, some of you heard our caretaker passed. Ed Wells. He had been there about 17 years. Ed fell into the job. His sister and husband actually took the job years ago. Her husband died in a motorcycle accident, and so he moved in to help her and just kind of took the job over and was there for about, again, 17 years. He was the only other employee there and kind of a partner, not so much in the ministry part of it, but a partner as far as working together. After he passed, the board decided they would sell that. That was the camp's little trailer. This is the lot where it was. I could not find pictures in the last couple of weeks. I was trying to find pictures of a before shot, but I kind of fell on me to clean up everything, fix it up, sell it, and then try to start clearing that area out, hopefully for some usage later. Still, as this was going on, before the pool's fixed, before the lot back there's fixed, before our house was finished, the dam on our lake broke. Some of y'all saw pictures of that in January. Had a lot of help with this, with Dirt and Corporate. Of course, Mike Eubanks actually... It was kind of comical. The day we finally put the pipe back in, he recruited the ministers, youth minister and minister, Terry Cagle up at Isaiah City and Jordan. Stephen come out, so we had a group of preachers come in to install our new spillway. Again, as this was going on, this was the dock we put in 5 years ago. Summerdale installed it. Last summer, at the end of last summer, people were actually stepping on the boards and going through. These are 2x6s that rotted out in about 5 years. And we had retreated these and washed them 3 times in 5 years. The wood was just very, very poorly, very, very poorly treated. Because it was a church group that installed it, we couldn't do much about it except try to fix it. A lot of unexpected surprises, I guess, is what I'm trying to share with you up front. This is what we did with the dock, decided to put concrete down instead of wood so it wouldn't happen again, and got into yet another project. So this is kind of our lake area back in March. And this is it yesterday. They did a lot of work on the back of the dam. You can see how the water, well, I don't know if we shot it just right. We may have to come back and put some more dirt in. It got real close to the top. But clearing a lot of trees off, you're not supposed to have the trees on the dam. These trees have been growing forever. And when they die and start leaning, the root system comes up and was causing multiple problems. So it was a lot of clearing. And I don't know how many thousands of dollars were donated in time, dirt, and machinery. But we've got this back together. The pool come back together. And we began camp. Lots of other small projects. This was a couple thousand dollars we spent in replacing the windows in the mess hall. And it's going to be about for the updates. Again, wanting to kind of give an account of what we've been doing with some of the funds given. What we were trying to do this year, what the board had approved, was trying to put in a sporting complex over near the pavilion. Basically, it was going to be a real nice pole barn, have restrooms in it, have a lot of storage in it because we need places for sporting equipment, sound equipment, things like that, have very little storage. It was also going to solve the problem for a dump station for our sojourners, our RV sites. It's going to answer some problems. We have no place to go when it rains. Some weeks come in, it'll rain 4 days straight. There's really nowhere to go. And so we were trying to sum up all those problems with a sporting complex or elaborate pole barn for about $30,000. We had raised eight, and we spent eight on the dock, the dam, and the pool. And so kind of everything that was raised had to go into those projects. So we'll be starting that again, not sure when it will begin, but are being delayed somewhat. So just so you know what's going on financially. Want to take just a moment, though, to share with you what's going on ministry-wise. This is an amazing ministry. A lot of people don't see that, and one of the only reasons I like to go around and speak is to share with you why this is such a wonderful ministry. John 1, 9 through 10. There was the true light which cometh into the world and enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And I think John 14:8 and 9 goes on, the apostles even asked Christ, well, show us the Father. This is Jesus replies, have I been with you so long that you do not still understand? Those who have seen me have seen the Father. And these verses, what do they have in common? It puts a lot of emphasis on how important it is to know God. As we continue, Matthew 1:23, and God is revealing to Mary and Joseph there that they shall name Christ Emmanuel, which means God with us. His very name describing his mission to mankind, who he was, God with us, to reveal the Father. Matthew 22:36-40. Shares the two, or the greatest commandment and the second likened to it, to love God and to love your neighbor. But verse 40 there a lot of people miss that. It says, on these two commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor, hangs the whole law and the prophets. And I've been thinking a lot about these verses over the last 3 weeks, learning or studying with a lot of the young people. What is it that I'm really trying to do here? And I believe one of the greatest goals in this ministry is just to help people know Jesus. We do this the same way Jesus helped us to know God. We do it by allowing these children to walk with us day by day, to live with us 24/7, and to let them look into our lives. Just as Christ come to live before us and show us God, we take these kids and live with them and become kind of like foster parents for a week, very much so, and show them Christ. And we teach them. I've had them from the little ones not knowing how to brush their teeth, some not knowing how to go to the bathroom by themselves. Very basic stuff, all the way up through our teenagers, which I had last week, and going over things that they're dealing with. This is their teen years. Changes from going in their body, we'll just put that politely, and all the way to these struggles with sin and addictions that they have. I've worked with some of these kids. Last week was the Hattiesburg week, and a lot of these pictures are going to be out of that week because I just took a lot of these pictures, so they're fresh on my mind. I've had them 6 years, and every year they come back, and they'll come in, and they'll make the comments. It's like they never left, kind of just pick right back up where we left off and continue growing closer together. And I believe any of you all that have put in time at the camp to be a counselor, and you come back year after year, will experience that or have experienced that. Only thing that changes usually is that they have gotten a little taller, and they're telling me I got a little shorter. I think teaching them to know Christ, again, it's one of the most important things we do, because you can't really have faith or trust someone you don't know. You cannot keep commandments for someone that you don't really know him, because you don't respect him. Some will think, well, you're there to baptize, to get them into Christ. Again, if you can't baptize them if they don't know who he is, they're just getting wet. Last week, 21 lessons were taught to my cabin. I taught 14 of them. There's about 45-minute sessions. They also had sessions every night in their cabins. There's a lot of Bible being taught. But what's more important than that, again, is just spending time with them. And it goes more than just the Bible classes. They get to test us, if you will. I remember a picture I had a couple years ago of David. And David was down on, not even on all fours. He's down on the ground, crawling, blindfolded through some obstacles where the kids were trying to direct him, having a lot of fun with him. Kids have made the comment often. They enjoy that time with the youth ministers or the ministers or parents that have come to volunteer. It's not just seeing them for a couple hours at church, but watching them struggle. And you're tested during the week. I think, going without a whole lot of sleep, having about 20 young men come in, or young ladies, and testing the boundaries which are there. They're going to try your patience. They're going to see what you're made of. And they're going to see something when all that is happening that they don't find in the world. And that's, I can't put a price on that, or how important that is. I'm sorry, you're going to have to forget. I've been through 5 weeks of camp, so I'm awake on caffeine. So you'll please bear with me. I'm convinced when these young people come to know God and they truly know who he is, that you can't help but love him. And as you go through it, if you love him, you'll keep the commandments. And things just begin to fall in line. Once they understand God, once they love him. I had one young man. He's just wanting to ask questions. There are things in his life that people were questioning him about, and he just coming to me, is this sin? I want to know. I want to do anything I need to do to get sin out of my life, and I'm not sure, in a very humble way. And that's kind of heartbreaking, just to see him come to you. What do I need to do? What do I need to turn around? Is there anything? I just want to make him happy. I want to please God. It's not something you hear people say a lot. And then, of course, the baptisms will come. Last week we had 117. I had 8 baptisms. And what does that again represent? We had 8 baptisms. It doesn't touch on the restorations. It doesn't touch on so many Bible. I think there's a couple days I'd have 4 or 5 studies a day. I was just driving around on the golf cart, and one wants to jump on and talk, and we'll talk about 30 minutes. When he gets off, I pull a little further, and another one jumps on. We need to talk. I'd like to talk. Had one young man, we set up pretty late, and his family's in turmoil, divorce, and basically he's sitting here very upset and aggravated and very stressed out. His problem was that he was taking everything on his own shoulders. He wanted to solve all these people's problems. He wanted to solve his family problems. He wanted to solve his friends' problems. You could just see and the burdens he was carrying. And as I talked with Kyle, I told him it was a trust thing. Says there's so many times God is making the statements. We went over, cast your burdens on me here. Bring your burdens to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Cast those burdens on me and trusting God in prayer to handle those things. And as we got through it, just again about 40 minutes for the light bulb to go off. And you see that he understands. And as the next few days come on, you see him enjoying that week of camp. Where, I mean, this was just one of the very first nights he's wanting to talk, and he's been upset the whole time, and how just overnight you see a change in him. And the parents tell me by the end of the week, I don't know what you talked to him about, but something's different. And I hope that sticks. 8 baptisms. It doesn't scratch the surface of what goes on during a week. We had middle school week just a few weeks ago. There were 8 baptisms. I don't think Eric even knows about 2. And this again, what does this 6 that he was reporting mean? He doesn't know back at Rocky Creek that 2 go home wanting to study more with their family, and they obey the gospel the following Sunday, because they learned something at camp. They drew close to God at camp. They know him and they wanted to know more. They go home inspired by that, studying with their parents, and then obey. If that hadn't happened at Rocky Creek, I wouldn't have known it. I don't know what fruits are bared, if you will, once they leave. But I know God does a lot of things with it, and that's encouraging. Uh-oh, there we go. If I were to stand before you today, this was Cody. Cody, he was in my cabin. Very rough past. Again, just giving you some examples. Our nurse this past week had taken him in. Didn't have a place to live. He's been with her for a few months. And in the last few weeks, he had kind of shared some interest there in her daughter. So they were kind of dating. And she set him down very quickly. Says, it's not going to work. You need to work on your relationship with God. Brought him to camp. And he had a lot of respect for her. She was telling him very clearly how it was. The girl broke up with him Tuesday. He gets upset, but he had been there a couple days. And he decided that he needed a little time. He left and I hated to see him go. He come back Friday. He said, I left because I needed time to look into this myself. Went back and studied with some of the elders at the Kensington Woods Church of Christ and decided that he needed to be baptized. Didn't. I'm glad the girlfriend in some ways got him there. But a seed was planted, and although he's got his heart broke during the week, he leaves and then comes back to put on Christ. And for the right reasons, I sit and talk with him. Again, story after story after story. And if I were to stand before you this evening and tell you, we've had one baptism this summer, I'm still convinced that this ministry is one of the greatest ministries we have to reach out and affect young people. I mean, you look at this country, it's just heartbreaking watching the news. I can't hardly do it. And so much seems like it's going in the opposite direction of God. Again, in my opinion, this is probably one of the greatest tools we have to reach the lost as far as young people go, to get them out of the world for a week. And if I could tell you, hey, there's just one baptism we've had all year, would that be worth supporting? I tell you, I guess it would depend on who you ask. I got a chance to baptize my daughter last week. Put things in perspective for me. And you feel, of course, all that emotion, all that heart tug, all the heartbreak. But I think I see some of those stories clear in the Bible where God is talking about the prodigal son coming home, what it meant to him for the one. What does it mean for him for that one? I think I understand how he feels a little more when one of his children come back to him. So many amazing stories. I'm going to close out here. Little boy, Braden. First time I saw him was at camp last year. Braden was living with his mother, who was homeless. They didn't have any place to go. And she knew the cook. His name's Kevin. Last week, and she asked, "Would you and your wife take him to camp? He'll have a place to live for a week." And so they brought him, and he was a handful. He was not brought up in the church. Been living on the streets and just kind of tossed about with his mother. But Regina and Kevin took him on, spent a lot of time that week. If you're cooking for that many people, to take time out to bring one little boy like this to camp with you, that in itself is commendable. They go back. She has been put in jail just a few days later, and they adopt him. They bring him back this year, different kid. I look at Braden there very much like many people. I guess as far as a spiritual go, coming to a week of camp, coming to know a God and a Savior that they didn't know before, experiencing a love, and finding a family. And Braden just got to do that, I guess more in the literal sense, but how he represented so many. I want to close by telling you I am very grateful for the congregations that support the camp that allow me a great blessing to go and work with the kids and just to keep the place running so that they have a place to come. every year like a sanctuary to refill their cups and get back on track, or to introduce them and teach them who God is. I can't think of a greater blessing to ask for. And God makes that possible through so many congregations and individuals such as Creekwood and many of you. And I'm grateful for the elders to ask me to come back and report on this, for considering this worthy to report on, so that you know where what's happening there and where funds go. Tonight I want to go ahead and extend the invitation. There may be people here that have fallen away, that you knew God, you knew all the blessings in following Him, being His child, but the world comes in and slowly steals it. And you slowly forget, and you find yourself living in just a worldly way, a fleshly way, and you've just left Christ behind. There may be sins you need to confess tonight, and prayers you need to ask on behalf of your family to make yourself right with God. Don't put those things off. And there may be those here that have never been baptized into Christ and never known Him. Yes, the invitation is open to come forward and to be baptized into Christ, but even more so, there are so many people here that would love the chance to sit down and study with you and to share with you the God that they know, the God that they dedicate their lives to. If you want to know Him more and sit down and study with people, let someone know. If you just simply have prayers that you'd like to ask on behalf of the congregation, whatever your needs are, please come while together we stand and sing.